Thank you very much. I am so happy, so pleased, so it's my pleasure to be here to speak to you about something that I can contribute to the church and the people here. I cannot sleep last night, tell you the truth. And I speak as a pastor from Hong Kong and a student, a foreign student in this seminary. Don't look at me as a theologian, forgive me. Later on, you can criticize me and all kinds of questions, whatever you want to ask. But I promise you, I try to finish within 30 minutes, and then another 30 minutes for discussion. And somebody told me that, why you stick your nose to the American church? And sounds like I am going to run for some kind of office in America. But it is my fair-hearted, my Christian love to my people in our mother church here. And I like to, according to my experience, observation, 6 years, including my STM and PhD studies in America, and preaching over 50 different congregations around here, to speak something to let you think about it and open your mind to what I said. What I'm going to do is I will divide my speech into two parts. The first part is trying to point out the things, the good things that American church already has. And the second part, I will point out something that needs to be, to have improvement for the future of the American church. So I started. The first part, I would have five areas that the American church has the advantage that over other country. Firstly, the overall picture of the American church is not as bad as I heard and read from the critics. The critics says that the American church is in a big trouble of losing their membership and the church attendance. However, from my observation, it is not so bad. It is true that the number of membership is dropping each year. However, this is a worldwide phenomenon, not necessarily to mean that only American church has this unique problem. The church in Asia and Europe have the same situation. In regard to the church attendance, if we compare the number of church attendance here in the United States with the number of the church attendance in Europe, especially in West Germany, which I have been there for 2 months visiting different churches there, their church attendance is far more far poorer than here in the United States. Here, the average church attendance is about 30% of the total membership. That is to say, if a congregation has 100 membership, only 30 people will show up in the Sunday service. This figure is also true in Asia, but it may not be true in Korea, because Korea, you have more church attendance, I realize that. However, over there in West Germany, even some churches have their big buildings. I can see usually only about 15 to 30 people show up in the service. Their church attendance is about 2 or 5% of the total membership. However, you have to keep in mind that in West Germany and some other state church country in Europe, every citizen has to be either a member of the Roman Catholic Church or a member of the Lutheran Church. Even though the structure of the church is different, the American church attendance is, generally speaking, is far better than the church in Europe. So, the first point I want to point out, don't be so passive saying that the overall picture of our American church is so bad as the critic says. Number two, the American church has more experience in dealing with people of different races and cultures than any other country in the world. Many people describe America as a melting pot. I prefer to use the term stew pot instead, because when you stew your food, although each individual item in the pot can get the favor from each other, at the same time, each one maintains its own unique nature. So that means unique culture. You know, you can have a Chinese American, but you can maintain your culture. Here in the United States, you have more different races like white, black, red, brown, or yellow. Such a diverse society enables the church to have more experiences to deal with different people and put the church into the practice of the real meaning of the so-called love your neighbor as yourself. Can you love your neighbor as yourself even though you hate his smell? It is difficult. Just like the Chinese, we eat a lot of garlic. When you come to my room, garlic smell, terrible. If you come to a Korean room, you know what that is? Kimchi smell. If we go to American room, what do? Cheese with sour cream, that kind of things. So it's difficult. When you say love your neighbor, can you love your neighbor even though their smell is different? Many people criticize America as a country of racism. I would say this. I would be better off as a Chinese living in America rather than as American living in China, Korea, or Japan. The tension of racism is much greater in those Asian countries than in here in the United States, because in those countries, almost 95 to 99% of the total population is a single homogeneous race. Racism is not something that only Americans has. It is our sinful nature of man. The third thing, the American church enjoys so far the best political environment, which is provided by the principle of democracy and the separation of the power between church and state. This allows the church to have its own autonomous freedom to preach and exercise its own faith. All communist countries cannot enjoy such advantage. Let's say if you have a chance to go to China and preach in China, I am sure that you will be watched by those secret agents during your preaching. If they thought your sermon has something contrary to their communist doctrine, then you will be caught in jail. On the other hand, in those European state church countries, even though they have their democracy, the church has lost its own autonomous freedom for the people to shape the church according to their faith. The church has lost its identity in the eyes of the people because a pastor becomes a figure of a governor, working for his government, being paid and hired by the government rather than a pastor is called by his own people with the same faith. Number four, the American church has the richest resources in the world. Number one, generally speaking, you have most the best library. You know, one of the German students, Martin, I don't know whether he's here. Martin one time said to me, this library in our Concordia Library is so amazed that I can find a lot of German books, whatever I need. It's true. Our library in this seminary is one of the best libraries, which has one of the best collection of theological books in the world in terms of quantity and quality. Number two, in America, many seminaries have more diverse educational background in the faculty. Some professors have been studying in Germany, England, Australia, France, or Middle East, etc. Moreover, some professors are originally a Chinese, a Korean like Dr. Ji, or a Japanese. Such a diverse educational background in the faculty enrich the students' learning experience. You learn more. You have a better training. You know, before I came here, when I say I'm coming to United States in St. Louis, Concordia, to study, they have a sense of, okay, you will be trained, trained far more better than other country, because they have a name called this seminary. We call it Siloam Temple. You know, Chinese Kung Fu, you see, actually originally from the temple of those monks. They established those Chinese Kung Fu to fight against their own emperor, you know, politically. So, when you are graduate, learning those Chinese Kung Fu, you have to go along with the process of fighting examination, you know, with those senior. The last process, there's a big metal pot inside the, not pot, but container, which lays in the middle of the door. And inside the container, you have a lot of fire and charcoals, you know, all kinds of charcoal fire. In order you go out from this door, you have to put the container, hold it, and put it aside. Without your clothing, without any protection, and the pot is hot, and the edge of the pot is some kind of craft with a dragon, the shape of dragon. So usually you hold the pot and then suffer the pain and then put it aside. After you've done it, you graduate, and you have to mark the whole body of dragon in your body, on your body. Whenever people saw your mark, you are the best in the Chinese Kung Fu area. So this seminary also the best. I can see you have the best training, the best professor, diversity of professor, educational background. Furthermore, the professors in the United States have the most influential role in the world because they have more students coming from different parts of the world for further theological training than any other country in the world. Why? First of all, it is because of the language. English is the most widely used language in the world. Secondly, here in America, you have more different study programs to meet the different needs. Thirdly, American church has offered more scholarship to the foreign student than any other country. Such a generosity is out of the Christian love, and I and my wife are always very thankful to the American church, especially Mr. Sinner, for supporting us to be here. So, The American church has the richest resources in the world. Finally, having the above advantages, the American church is far more better equipped than other countries to inspire the world, not only in the area of education, but also in the area of mission work. That is to say, to carry out the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. When we look at the present situation in Europe, the communist countries are breaking down one after the other. Inside their mind, they may have a wrong expectation that they thought that democracy is their only hope to solve their human problem. But actually, no political system in the world can solve the human problem, neither communism nor democracy, but Jesus Christ. In my observation, nowadays, any country that is under the control of the communist system, the message of the Word of God will be either twisted or changed or have not been fully presented to the people. Many young generations have not even had a chance to know Jesus Christ. In China, for example, they have a law that they don't allow anyone to preach any religions to the child who is under 18 years old. Therefore, there is a great need for those communist countries in Europe to have missionaries from the other Christian world, such as the United States, in order to help them to restore their faith purely and completely. Why the United States? One of the major reasons is that Europe is your origin of the Protestant Church and also the origin of many white folks. Those communist countries in Europe will become a major mission field in the next decade. And after that, China will become the next major mission field in the following decade. Because I predict China needs at least 10 years to reform the country from communism to democracy. That is to say, after China becomes a democratic country, it will have more freedom for the gospel. Why I predict at least it needs 10 years for changes in China? It is simply because most of the conservative influential leaders in China are over 75 years old. After 10 years, they will all die. Then it may have a better chance for changes. You know, right now, China, they congratulate to each other. They're saying, look at Romania. If we don't shoot them last June 4th, they will shoot us. So, furthermore, I predict in the next future, China will have a very good relationship with the United States. And this good relationship will be even better after China changes into a democratic country. If it is the case, China will open the door for any missionary from all over the world, especially from the United States. Why the United States? It is because the President Nixon of the United States was the first one who took the initiative action to restore the good relationship between the United States and China. You know, generally speaking, Chinese has a passive personality. I'm different. Because I long enough, you know, here, I will try to talk to everybody. And in the game room, I work in the game room, so I try to talk with the student here. But mostly, Chinese are very passive, very passive. And Chinese usually would not take any initiative to restore the relationship with each other if they have problem. Once someone has taken the initiative role, the problem would be solved easily. Therefore, in the next two decades, the American church is going to play a very important role in the area of mission work would focus not only on Europe and China, but also on its own country, the United States. Because by the time when the American church is so busy doing the mission work both in Europe and China, the mission work within the country will be inspired and strengthened for its own folks. So this is my 5 points, which is so good in this country that many Americans take for granted. Now I'm going to present another 5 points. The time's almost up and need to be improved. Firstly, about the theology. I have an impression from hearing many sermons in America that there is a great tendency to emphasize more on the person of Jesus Christ than the person of the Father and the Holy Spirit. This needs to be changed. We should emphasize the total concept of God, that is the Trinity. The theology of each person of God relates to each other so much that one cannot exist without the other. Otherwise, the Word of God would not be presented fully. So, we should emphasize the theology of each person of God equally and totally, especially the theology of creation of the Father should also be equally presented and emphasized, particularly in the mission field, where there is a great tension of racism. You know, in the Chinese, we have a story about creation story, saying that God make use the mud and create a man and then put it in the oven. But at that time, there's no time, you know. You cannot watch the time. So, by experience, he opened it, he thought it's ready, but the time is not ready. That is, you have white people coming out. So the next time, he created another one and put it in the oven. And next time, because it's too long, overdone it, you have the black one coming in. So the third time, he knew it by experience. So he put it in, the time is just right. That's me. The yellow and brown people. See, that's racism. Don't say Jesus Christ is a white man's God. And don't think we are from different race so that we should hate and fight each other. As a matter of fact, we all are from one family, the same ancestor, that is Adam. However, because of our sin, we are divided. But now we become one family again because of Jesus Christ. This is the theology of the creation we should emphasize in the mission field, also within the country here. In the same way, the theology of the Holy Spirit should be equally emphasized because our Holy Spirit is our origin of faith and the strength of our Christian life. So the total concept of God should be emphasized, not just Christology. The second thing, area, is the pastoral office and worship. First, the pastoral office. I have an impression that the pastor in the United States have a passive role in the area of the spiritual leadership. It looks like that there's a great tension between the lay people and the pastor, especially those elders and the lay leaders in the church. If we get down to the bottom line, it is the matter of who is the boss. Of course, there are many reasons that caused this kind of confrontation. But keep in mind that it is natural to have this kind of power struggle in a society such as the United States, where you have emphasis on freedom, human rights, and equal rights. When people overemphasize it, people may easily take advantage to these rights and abuse it. One of the easiest ways to avoid this kind of confrontation with each other is to lay back passively and try not to give any opinion or suggestion in the area of the church matters. If this is the case, the church looks like the sheep without the shepherds. The church will not grow. In regard to the worship matters, I have the following observations. Number one, there is a great tendency that the church try to separate the children from their parents in the church service. When the church worship starts, they send their kids to the nursery or the children Bible class. This gives the wrong signal to the children that Sunday worship is not for children. Or the children have an impression that the church is a place to play in the playground or in the nursery room, not to worship. Even though some of the church allow their parents to keep their children in the church service because the church have not offer any nursery. Many parents give their children something to do, you know, drawing, painting, you know, and the like, or making all kinds of things, and something to eat, you know, something. They don't allow the children eat too much chocolate at that Sunday. They will give more. See, I saw that they give more chocolate. The child just sit there, oh, after that, and then they eat again and again. So, in order to keep them quietly in the service, these are also the wrong signals to the children that the worship is not their business. I know, practically speaking, it is very difficult to keep the children quietly in the service, but somehow you have to find your way. It is one of the very important signals to train your children to follow their parents' faith and practice in the church while they are growing up. The second thing about preaching. Generally speaking, there is not much problem in the area of theology and exegesis. However, it is something missing. As a result, it cannot draw people close to God. It seems that the sermon sounds like a theory that is waiting to be proved in the future. We should preach with our whole heart, our conviction of our faith, as it is not something far, far away, but it is right here, here and now. And it is not a theory, but the truth, as you have already experienced it in your spiritual life. Don't be afraid to preach with your compassion, because God is full of compassion. Don't be afraid sometimes to use the word you as God speaking to his people with authority. Give them more illustration which relates to their daily life after you have made a major theological statement, so that your sermon is not something up in the air, but down to the earth, where they can see it, sense it, feel it, and understand it. The third area I would like to say is the laity. The debate about the role of women in the church is going to be one of the hottest issues in the future, especially in the Missouri Synod. The real issue is not about the role of women in the area of laity ministry, but it is about whether or not we should have a female pastor. Well, I am not going to approach this matter, hot potato, with the theological perspective, but rather I try to, from a different angle, from a sociological angle to see it. Some people said that when a society has more women fighting for the superiority over men, the more they would have divorce cases in that society. Hey, lady, please don't be angry so quickly. I would say that this statement may not be true, because the conflicts between male and female may not necessarily mean that it is a direct cause to many divorces. Every divorce case is a unique case. However, I can only say that the more the confusion of the role play between man and wife, the more would be conflicts in your family. Just like a Chinese saying, you cannot have two tigers in the same mountains. They would fight all the time, you know. If your wife wants to be a boss, you listen to me. And you're trying to, oh, you should listen to me. Then you fight all the time. So this is a Chinese saying, only a Chinese saying. You may not buy it, but it is more suitable if a husband is considered to be a leader in the family. I mean, if you consider a leader of the family, a representative of the whole family, it is more suitable to have a male pastor in the church rather than a female, because the church is a family of God that is formed by many families. It is much easier for a female to come to a male pastor asking for advice, especially personal advice, rather than vice versa. So biblically and sociologically speaking, we should maintain to have male pastor rather to have the female pastor. If you have question about a theological perspective, you ask the professor. Number four area, about the church school. I know that many congregations have their own financial problems struggling to keep their church school open. My suggestion is that even though it is a burden to operate a church school, but it is worth to do it. You know why? Because I had learned this lesson in my country, Hong Kong. After our church have received financial subsidy from the government to our Lutheran church, our Lutheran school, although our church can still run the school and can still teach Bible to the student, we have lost our ownership and its identity with our church. Consequently, less and less students were converted into our church. So please, keep your school open and maintain it its autonomous nature as possible as you can. Finally, because of time, the final point is evangelism and mission field. I only make 2 points. Number one, evangelism is not something only for overseas, but also here and now in the United States, in your neighborhood. Number two, the relationship between the mother church and mission field is not something the money relationship, but rather spiritual relationship. So these are the five areas, the five things that I mentioned need to be improved for the future of the American church. But you see, this is my heart. I love this mother church. I love the church here because this is my mother church. And I love America because it inspired me a lot. I love the seminary here. Professor talked to me a lot. And I am being loved by many of you, even though I have a garlic smell. Thank you very much.
We'd like to take the remaining time to field questions, comments, any feedback that you might have for Reverend Wong, and have him answer. So if you could do the honors of...
Not necessarily I answer your questions. Some people can answer the question. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, I just had a question. You talked about China becoming a democracy, and coming from Hong Kong, how do you feel the people there are reacting to the communist takeover of Hong Kong in 1997?
They're scared. They're very scared. The church also scared too. They're now going to move their all their financial things to Australia, try to set up a church over there, and also try to set up a church with Canada, because many Chinese, Hong Kong Chinese, like to migrate to Canada. One reason is they have a coastline like Hong Kong, and the second thing is they have social Medicare that you don't worry about when you are sick, you know, so that kind of thing. They're scared. It depends on China, how China... I tell you the dangers of Hong Kong. Many people thought only the economical bankruptcy, that kind of thing. But that is not the real issue. The real issue is that somehow the Hong Kong people believe that if China's going to change, you cannot have a chance transitional period to change, because you have that kind of background. To in last June 4th, they shoot the people. They believe there are going to be a sudden change, a chaos, assassination between those high officials, because you know that many students who have been shot in Beijing, their parents are the high official officer in the government office. If you don't have a good background, you cannot go to the university in China for study, or coming to United States. They all, whenever a Chinese student coming from China into America for further study, they must to have a good background. Either you have somebody working in the high official in the government of China or something else. So they're going to have revenge. And now they're talking about in Beijing, the government of Beijing tried to talk about moving their capital to somewhere else, because the whole citizen of Beijing is full of anger, hate. If something happened, they will come out, no matter without any guns or any whatever, they will fight. See, that's the dangerous.
I think it's interesting.
I'm sorry, I'm not finished the question. Why Hong Kong so dangerous? So when chaos come, the people of China will flood to Hong Kong and Taiwan, because they thought Hong Kong is the heaven on earth. So they will flood it, they will marching, thousands of people marching to Hong Kong, then Hong Kong is finished. You cannot shoot those people, those are your own people. And they will turn down those supermarket and steal all things they want to have. Hong Kong's finished. In that way, they are afraid.
I thought it was interesting, your comment about the government now, because this morning on the Today Show, there was another comment by an author who was saying basically the same thing you said, that her prediction is that once the people in power now, you know, are gone, that there will be a change. And so I was wondering, what exactly is the status of the church right now in China, and are they involved in any way politically yet?
No, they dare not to do it. And in a major city in China, although they have opened certain churches, the Christian, when they come to church, they will pay their price. because those secret agents will write down their names. And then you know that in a communist country, your job is provided by the government, your house is provided by the government, even your future, everything is provided controlled by the government. So if they write down your list, your name as a blacklist, you have no future. They may send you apart from your family to some far, far away in a corner of the country to do hard labor. So that is horrible.
Is there a way in which Lutheran Christians being dispersed from Hong Kong and fleeing and the like might be instrumental in a real strategy for Lutheran witness of the gospel among Chinese communities throughout the world, everywhere from Australia to South America to wherever? Right now, we only, are known at all in Hong Kong or Taiwan, really.
Yeah. But you see, the Christian population of Hong Kong is about 20% of the total population. 10% is Catholic Church, and 10% is Protestant churches. And I don't know, a lot of people already migrate to United States and Canada. If you read carefully, follow those articles, they said the Hong Kong people almost buy the whole city of Vancouver in Canada, you know, that kind of thing. And they, many are rich people, but I tell you one thing, the fact that rich people usually, they don't have a strong faith. All they care is about the money. So I think that I don't rely on those people so much to spread the gospel. But of course, we have to prepare for those millions of people migrate to United States and also in Canada too.
What is the status of the Missouri Synod in Chinese American ministry and in comparison to other denominations?
In America, Chinese? I cannot say that, but not many. Not many congregations. And it seems to me the Synod is struggling with what kind of method to going to use to establish a new church. And, Henry Lai was a graduate from here, and Paul Wong, and they sent them to have a mission at large, you know, as you heard the other speaker talk before. That means mission at large means nothing. So you have to work for your own, locking the door, ask for people to come to service and the like. So I don't know. Observation, I am seeing that we don't have a very concrete strategy, even for the Chinese in America, to have prepare for those newcomers from Hong Kong or other part of the world. I hope don't quote me to the mission board. I think I heard another speaker here, I agree with him, saying that sometimes it is not racism. Sometimes it's sociology, social problem, social things. I have the same language, same smell. Of course you come together so easily. And of course you will use your own language much easily by talking to each other. So I think it's a sociological principle rather than to force a church have you have to have develop a mixed raised congregation. But whatever you try to force to do that kind of thing, but usually end up with only a single homogeneous group, you know. Somebody will leave, you know.
If China does open up to the gospel within the next 10 to 20 years, won't the Missouri Synod be completely unprepared to send any missionaries? Because we have so few Chinese-speaking members. Is there anything that we could do?
As a matter of fact, I can say that you can speak English in China. You know why? Right now in River Forest College, I mean the College of Concordia in River Forest or in some our Lutheran school, college school, they have some teachers and professors going to China to teach English. I think, Joe, you have been there too. Teach English. They like to learn English. Of course, now it's a communist country. But if China's opened the door for the gospel, they would like to hear somebody who speak English. Now, this is new to you, I tell you. It's new to you. They like to learn English at the same time. In the past, they sensed that American is somebody you can, well, you can trust in some way, see. Not, of course, you know, politically, not fully trust. But, you see, they saw, you know, in the Korean War, the Chinese fight against South Korean were, and the American helped those South Korean to fight, and many Chinese there. And they sensed how the American soldier to protect the people, see. In the communist country, they don't know why the Christianity can love one another, even to love your enemy. In my church, some people from China, they ask me, how you can love your enemy? Because they grow up by teaching that you have to hate your enemy. So I think by experience in the past, in the war and in those missionary work, they sensed that American can be trusted. And that is why President Bush, he has been in China as an embassy, ambassador in China. He knew how Chinese will as America, as American. So he took an initiated role to send his, one of the, what do you call, democracy, ambassadors to China to talk over about the issues, the Chinese students staying in America and the like. And that makes China so pleased, so happy. At the same time, of course, he tried to make a lot of rejection and the like, but in their heart, the Chinese way of doing things, they are so pleased. Actually, they're longing for very long time to restore the relation with the United States in order to get the technology from the United States and the money. See, that's practical. Anything? Thank you very much.